Hi, this is David Flowers, Senior Pastor at Grantham Church, an intergenerational, convergent, third-way congregation with the Brethren in Christ U.S. and located in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I want to thank you for listening to our podcast and for following the sermons that I and many others preach at Grantham. This is a free podcast and it'll always be that way, but if you'd like to give and help further the work we're doing for the kingdom, we'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to do that, you can do that by going to granthamchurch.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Whether you're a member of our church or you're listening as a podritioner, it's our greatest desire that you would encounter Jesus and be changed by the good news wherever you are. Anyway, God bless you, and I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Good morning, Grantham Church. Great to see all of you in worship. It is good to be back from a very restful vacation. I hope that you had a good holiday and your new year is off to a good start. I was given a note just a moment ago. There is a gray Toyota in the parking lot with the lights on. Don't want you to get to your car and realize you can't go anywhere. So if you've got a gray Toyota, you left your lights on. Well, we are continuing our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount, part two of that series. And one of the things you'll notice for the month of January, we're inviting some guest speakers, some of who you will know, some from Grantham, who will be able to speak very passionately into the words of Jesus and where we are. Like, for example, this morning we are looking at Jesus' words on money. And so I have invited a friend of the BIC to come and to share with us on Jesus' words. Mark Templeton is our guest speaker this morning. He has served as the development officer for the Brethren in Christ U.S. since November 2021. Focusing on building relationships and helping individuals steward their resources to advance the gospel, specifically through gifts and wills and estate. Mark was first introduced to the BIC community in 1987 at what was then Messiah College. So some of you probably know Mark pretty well. Mark and his wife, Dawn, have been involved with various congregations. He's also served in the Office of Development at Messiah University for 9 years. Before serving with the Brethren in Christ U.S. Mark and Don have two adult daughters living in North Carolina. I think he'll say more about his family in just a moment. In his spare time, Mark actively participates in the recovery community. He plays bass guitar with several worship teams. He enjoys international cuisine and traveling, as I know some of you do, bicycling and golf. And Mark currently chairs the board of Paxton Ministries, one of our ministry partners here at Grantham. Would you please give a warm Grantham Church welcome to Mark Templeton?
Well, good morning. This is an extreme pleasure for me because as David shared, with my years working and serving at Messiah, years serving in the BIC at various churches, I've gotten to know a lot of you and really gain a strong appreciation for you, and you've spoken into my life, so I consider it a deep privilege to be here this morning. An amazing thing happened let me introduce my family here. I got to do this the right way. It helps when you turn it on. Okay, let me introduce my family. So for many of you that I know really well, you don't know my family. So going from left to right, let me introduce, and I'll go around and then come back to the middle. So that's my wife, Dawn, in the white coat, myself, my brand new son-in-law, Aaron, in the back, our oldest daughter, Kelly, and then our younger daughter, Erin, is in the red scarf. And in 2017, we had the privilege of hosting a young lady from Norway for the year in her junior year of high school. And that is Lena that is with us. And so I said, brand new son-in-law. So Lena came over to celebrate the reception of Kelly and Erin. So this is our family, and for those of you who have not met my family, here they are. So now back to it. When Pastor David asked me to come and share with you today, a really neat thing happened. He asked me right off the bat to share about Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. So I looked at that and I started to really meditate on that deeply. But the funny thing is, the more that I read other passages in Scripture, the more I found places where God calls us to build our treasure in Him, to serve others instead of accumulating our excess of material goods. And that has been something that has helped me. So for that and many, and the invitation, David, I thank you so much. This has been a blessing. So I hope to accomplish a few things today. I hope that as you leave here today, you have a greater appreciation for what the Sermon on the Mount has to say to all of us. And I also hope that you have a deeper appreciation for your pastor that you will get back next week. So it's always a pleasure to go and speak somewhere, but I oftentimes think, well, maybe this has helped them gain an appreciation for what they really have. So, yes, so let's see here. The Sermon on the Mount and the topic of giving and generosity is one that is very, very important to me. And that sounds easy to say. It should be important to all of us. But as I want to share a little bit of my personal testimony so you know exactly why this is so important to me. You know, these are more than just a set of verses that guide us in our way of living. This, to me, has become a roadmap for life. So as I share my testimony and before we open in prayer, I was 35 years old, married. Both of our daughters were little, but here at that point, I had a career job, and my life was a total mess. I wasn't walking with the Lord, although I was in church every Sunday. I was selfish, self-centered to the extreme. And at the point where I hit that bottom in my life and realized that I couldn't fix those problems that I had going on my own, I asked God to step in and take control. In practical terms, this involved asking God to change my eyes from self-centered eyes, dark ones, that didn't allow His light to shine in, to having eyes that saw what He had for me. With this, our family finances were totally a shambles, and I needed to turn them over to the Lord as well. The neat thing is that after asking our pastor who might be a good help, he referred us to a gentleman who at that point worked in the BIC Foundation office. We made a phone call, went to sit down with him. Jerry Richwine is his name. And he guided us through the budgeting process, through the debt reduction and elimination process. And as he got started with that whole thing, looking at our wreckage of finances, one of his first suggestions to us was to consider tithing. And I'd grown up in the church, so I knew what that was all about. And I said, really? Shouldn't we get all this paid off first? And he said, Mark, trust me when I tell you that if you lay this all before the Lord, all that other stuff is going to be handled in due time. So we started. We didn't start out necessarily at 10%. It took us quite a while to get up to that, but we made that commitment to prioritize giving in our budget. So we've continued to grow our level of giving to this day. And so in addition to being faithful with our finances, we also serve others with our time and our talent. We look for ways to increase our stewardship, not to fulfill an obligation, but in an act of gratitude for all that God has blessed us with. Without God's intervention, I would likely be dead or at least in jail if I had continued on that path. How can I then be stingy with what God has blessed me with after He has given me all that He has given me? I'm keenly aware that all that I have belongs to God, and I am merely a steward of His resources. I'm a witness to the fact that God can and will bring healing to the broken. And I didn't coordinate with David for the prayer that we all read corporately, but I thought to myself as we read that, it's like we met this week and talked about what prayer would fit perfectly with this topic of conversation today. So thank you for that. That was just a neat way to move into this time, and thank you for leading us in such wonderful worship. Whether your story mirrors mine or not, we all experience that universal human desire for security, for purpose, and lasting value. The world tells us that earthly things can fill this hole in our soul. But in my experience, there's a high level of anxiety that comes from pursuing temporary things. If you wrestle with this tension like I do, let's explore together what Jesus has to say about the basis of our security, our purpose, and our lasting value. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you give us clarity and discernment as we look at your word. We ask that you show us what it means to store up our treasures with you, to have a bright and clear perspective rooted in you, and to accept fully that you are the master we have the privilege to serve. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, let's read this scripture, and then we're going to go back through slowly but surely and pick it apart. All right, so don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So, to provide a little bit of context for our conversation today, the Sermon on the Mount was a teaching that was given to a large crowd that included Jesus' disciples. The purpose of this message was to instruct the audience how to follow God in the way they lived. Jesus contrasts a God-centered righteousness with a self-centered righteousness, outlining the difference between obedience to specific laws and living a new covenant. The people to whom Jesus delivered this message would have understood that moths and rust were very real threats to clothing and other types of material wealth. Jesus used this to emphasize the point about the insecurity of earthly possessions. You've likely already noticed that in the passage, Jesus makes three specific points, each one a contrast that builds on the previous. As we look at each section, we'll look at what Jesus is teaching and examine the options and how to apply it to our lives. So here, as we look at verses 19 to 21, and I'll keep that up on the screen so you can look at that. Jesus presents two distinct investment options, if you will. Earthly treasure that is perishable and insecure, and heavenly treasure which is permanent and secure. Jesus is encouraging us to choose wisely, because where our treasure is, there is our heart also. This makes good practical sense, but it takes trust to place our treasure. Don't we compare potential returns on our investments before making an investment choice? Whether it's an investment choice or the salad dressing that we pick off the grocery shelf, we constantly evaluate the product that provides the best return. In reality, we need to ask ourselves whether we trust God or trust self. In my experience, self-made security is an illusion. God has proven faithful time and time again. Despite his perfect track record, I still find myself struggling to turn my will over to God. And the challenge we face is to look at our lives, which includes our finances, our time, and our energy, to discern where our heart truly lies. Heavenly treasure is simply the use of our earthly time, treasure, and talent in service to God and others here on earth. We store up heavenly treasure through acts of service, like charitable giving, intercessory prayer, serving others with our talents, and living generously. Like David had mentioned, I am privileged to serve as a volunteer at Paxton Ministries, and I know that many here in the Grantham community serve as well. And we are deeply thankful for all you bring to the residents and those that call Paxton Street home. Your service is building up treasures in heaven. Yes, that is a set of our society that definitely needs Christ-like love. So we're thankful, very, very thankful. I also couldn't help but speak to this beautiful artwork that's both behind me and was on one of the slides as we were worshiping this morning. Couldn't help but observe the wonderful talent of the worship team that served us this morning. Keeping our treasures to ourselves would be like creating this beautiful piece of art and then keeping it in the basement with the lights off. Do we think that the folks who served us and led worship this morning practiced all that time, both together and by themselves, just to continue to play in their bedroom or their rec room? The true joy that we have from the talents that God has sown inside of us is to give them away. And we saw that, we see it, and we heard it, and we got to enjoy that. Every single one of us in this room has talents and treasures that God has put inside of us, not only for us to enjoy, but how we can truly enjoy them is turning around and giving them away. So I thank you for those great examples that I was able to use here as we take a look at our time, talent, and treasure. One question that we need to ask ourselves is if our treasure is available to others or if we're guarding it selfishly. When we give freely of our time, our treasure, and our talent, the result is measured in eternal terms. That can't be destroyed, devalued, or stolen. When we gather up and guard our earthly treasures, it leads to anxiety and stress, as we see a little bit later on in the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus mentions in Matthew 6, verse 25. So moving on to the next section where we talk about the lamp. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. It's interesting to consider the eye as a lamp. Lamps provide light that make it possible to navigate in darkness. The light of the lamp overcomes the darkness it is exposed to. If our eyes are serving as a lamp, they are only useful if they bring light to the darkness we're walking through. Let's consider what it means to have healthy or unhealthy eyes. What does that mean? In my reading of this passage, it seems that a healthy eye is good and generous toward others, resulting in a life that is full of light, clarity, and focus on God, while an unhealthy and greedy eye leads to darkness, confusion, and a life consumed by self-centered materialism. Just as Scripture says that a bad tree cannot bear good fruit, a life lived with dark and unhealthy eyes cannot bear good fruit. Our vision impacts our actions. Like the option of where we invest our treasure, we are faced with a choice. We have only one focus. We can choose the light-filled eye with its simplicity and other-centered intentionality in life, or we can choose the self-centered, anxiety-producing burden that we receive when we chase the things of this world. This focus provides either light or darkness for every aspect of our lives. I've worn glasses or contact lenses since the age of 11. My eyes have gotten progressively worse, especially after my mid-30s. I bet a lot of you can relate. Although I didn't choose my earthly eyes and the limitations that they have, I can choose the spiritual lenses through which I see life and the resources God has given me to manage. God sees me through the lens of Jesus. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God doesn't see the broken, judgmental, self-centered person that stands before you today. He sees a complete and sinless child, heir to his kingdom. As a Jesus follower, I'm to be an imitator of Christ. Through the power of God, I'm called to look at the world with the same eyes that he views me with. The resources he has entrusted to my care are not just for my pleasure, but for the blessing and well-being of others. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. This is the concluding contrast that we face. We have considered where we invest and the eye through which we choose to view life. Now Jesus challenges us with an unshakable truth. We cannot serve both God and money. It's an impossibility. One master must be chosen and will be loved, the other despised and rejected. In the context that this sermon was delivered, the term master referred to someone of higher social standing who owned the property and gave direction as to its care. If I consider myself as the owner of my resources, all of the pressure and responsibility for the care of those things falls on me. My level of success is built on earthly, temporal circumstances that are all beyond my control. When God is the owner of all that I steward, he cares for all of my needs and provides everything I could possibly require. What is our choice to be? What actions will follow? We need to make a decision and take action once we decide which master we will serve. This decision is between you and God, and your decision will impact every facet of your life. Will I choose God or will I choose myself? Given my track record, the choice is an easy one. I pray it is for you too. Another challenge is in renewing and keeping this commitment every day. I often try and take back that control, and I'm quickly reminded who is the better master. Applying these principles to our lives is an essential part of our spiritual growth and formation. They are also affirmed in BIC practice. The brethren in Christ hold 10 core values. And while we value and share many more than 10 concepts that impact our daily life, I would specifically like to highlight one of these core values today, the idea of living simply. In considering what it means to live simply, the Brethren in Christ defines it as follows. We value uncluttered lives, which free us to love boldly, give generously, and serve joyfully. If we overlay those three contrasting principles that Jesus outlined in the scripture that we're focused on today with the Brethren in Christ definition of simple living, we affirm that seeking heavenly treasure removes clutter. Lives free of clutter are open to loving others, giving generously, and serving joyfully. With eyes of light that are focused on God's will, it is easier to see who needs God's love to shine through us, what ministries could use our financial support, and where we can invest our time. When we are walking out our lives with God as the master and a proper posture of stewardship, we seek His direction and guidance in loving others, investing our resources, and serving. As we meditate on this passage and seek to grow in pursuing our purpose in serving God with time, treasure, and talent, let's consider some potential next steps for application of these principles. Maybe God is calling us to prayerfully consider the need to repent of self-centered resource management and placing our trust in ourselves rather than in Him. If so, let's go through this week and pray and ask God for guidance. It may be that God is calling us to specific actions, like reviewing our personal budget with kingdom priorities in mind, simplifying our life in some kind of way. Possibly, it's starting to give and serve more generously. I just encourage you this week to review this passage and ask God to show you what He's got for you in it. Exercising our generosity with time, treasure, and talent is like any other skill. We are all blessed by the talents, as I shared earlier, of the worship team this morning, and we are so glad that they practiced separately and together this week and shared freely of their talents. And as I look over who all is in attendance today, I see people who are gifted writers, editors, and communicators. Aren't we glad that they don't keep their talents to themselves? God is calling us to greater joy when He asks us to use our resources to serve Him. As God called Moses, He had one simple question for him. What is in your hand? God asks us the same question today. And what will our response be? I thought it would be fitting and powerful to share this short video before we close with a prayer.
Life. Life is the free and joyful pursuit of self-interest. The generous may doubt this, but we know life offers more than a dedication to serving others.
Do we have the video for this?
The spirit of love in the heart. Life. Life is the free and joyful pursuit of self-interest. The generous may doubt this, but we know life offers more than a dedication to serving others. A spirit of love in the heart of God, we've moved on to something better. Money is what really matters. We don't believe all the hype about transforming our world. No, we want to live an extraordinary life of convenience and luxury, the sense of status and wealth, the power of instant gratification. We are uninterested in conforming ourselves to living with open hands, setting our eyes on the everlasting. The better way forward? To build a world around ourselves. This is the mindset of our day. We would be foolish to live the generous life. We don't believe it is worth our time. But when we encounter Jesus, He reorders the priorities of our heart. It is worth our time to live the generous life. We don't believe the mindset of our day. We would be foolish to build a world around ourselves. This is the better way forward. Setting our eyes on the everlasting, living with open hands. We are uninterested in conforming ourselves to the power of instant gratification, the sense of status and wealth, convenience and luxury. No, we want to live an extraordinary life of transforming our world. We don't believe all the hype about money is what really matters. We've moved on to something better. The heart of God. A spirit of love and dedication to serving. Others may doubt this, but we know life offers more than a pursuit of self-interest. The generous life is the free and joyful life.
The generous life is the free and joyful life. If you're able to stay, we are going to have a short lunch and learn after, and we're going to have a very high-level overview of estate planning, charitable giving methods and techniques, and a little bit about taxation and how that impacts our giving. If you're able to stay, that is wonderful. Also have an information table right outside the doors on this side of the sanctuary. My business cards are there. If you'd like to have further conversation, please grab one and reach out or see me here before I go. But if we could, close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that you are the creator and sustainer of all things. We know that all things are under your control. May we leave this place today with a stronger understanding that we are called by you to manage thoughtfully the time, talent, and treasure you have blessed us with. May we embrace a posture of humble stewardship, living simply so that others may see you more clearly. Thank you for saving us from a life based on self-seeking and greed. We pray all of these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.